The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. See, first thing you need to know about your reputation is that your reputation determines the level of respect you receive. Nobody puts a lot of stock in somebody who is a liar. Nobody puts a lot of respect to somebody who, when they talk to you, you know they're lying to you, and the reason you know is because they're saying something. See, we all know people like that. We all know pathological liars who wouldn't know the truth if it hit them with a board. I've had to do business with people like that. And it's hard when somebody does business like with you because you can't trust them. So if you, and I'm the kind of guy that I'll put a 10 on everybody. I will say, hey, you're the best person in the world, and I'll let you knock off the points. I'm not immediately distrustful of people, but if you earn distrust, that's the way that goes. Teenagers, I will tell you now that one of the hardest things for you to do is lose the trust of your parents, because it's almost impossible to gain back. You lie to your kids. I mean, you lie to your parents. You're deceitful to your parents. And then your parents, then you want them to believe you? No, no. If you lie, your respect level goes down. That's at work. That's everywhere. If I have a staff member that lies to me at the sheriff's office, in my unit, trust is all we have. There are three things that will get you in trouble in law enforcement: guns, dope, and money, and I'm in charge of all three of them. I have to be able to trust the people that work with me. And the day I can't trust them is the day that I ask for them to be reassigned. Because I have to be able to know that they're on the up and up. I really respect people that don't have any, nobody says bad things about them. You know who I respect the most? Or not the most, but who I respect? Billy Graham. Have you ever heard anybody say anything bad about Billy Graham? Never had a hint of scandal? Never incriminating photos of him? He's pretty much a straight arrow. I respect that. The other person I respect like that was Jesus. Look, Jesus didn't just come into the world and all of a sudden have a reputation. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was the real deal. But do you think that if he had said something that was wrong, that if he had just lied about something, anybody would have followed him? Man, that spreads like wildfire. We've got to do our part to make sure that we are respected, and the way you stay respected is by doing the right thing. Your reputation determines what kind of response you get. Every Christian wants to be respected. And again, guys, you're going to tell the people that you work with that you're a Christian, then you better not turn out 5 minutes later and tell it a filthy joke. You're going to tell people you're a Christian, then you can't curse like all the rest of them. If you're going to tell people you're a Christian, then you can't turn around and gossip about your boss. See, that's harsh, isn't it? See, this is really where the rubber meets the road. Because we want to be respected as Christians, but the old saying that what you're doing speaks louder than what you're saying. It's up to us to make sure that our lives are right. And not just our words, but our lives too. If your walk and your talk don't line up, you're not much good, because your reputation's important. But you don't build a reputation based on what you're going to do. You build a reputation based on what you do. You guys will win a game now that I'm here. yeah, we're not putting a lot of stock in that, Sparky. Now, if he came up and hit a home run his first at bat, okay, now he's up a couple of notches. If he comes up and he just does his job, and that's the thing, I would rather, I never forget my uncle telling me one time, if you're good, you don't have to tell anybody, right? Now, I love football. I love football. If you tried to listen to us on the radio Friday night, I apologize because we had some technical difficulties. We've ironed them out, but I watch these guys now, though. The NFL is almost killing me. It's killing me. These guys with all the end zone dances and the knuckleheads that point to the back of their jersey because that's where their name is. Look what I did. Shut up. Go back to the huddle. Come back the next play. I used to tell my players, don't grandstand. If you hit a guy good, that's great. That's why you're here. Pick him up, help him up and say, you know what, I'll be back next play. I'll see you again. That's football. All of this jumping around and dancing around. Mark Gastineau, when he played for the New York Jets, some of you guys remember Mark Gastineau, started that dance after a sack. And I'll never forget here reading an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman says, I block that guy 65 times and keep him away from our player. He gets through once, and he acts like he just won $1 million. You know what? If you're good, you don't have to tell anybody. I don't hear Peyton Manning boasting about how good he was. One of the guys I love the most, Walter Payton, just hand the ball to the ref. Score a touchdown, hand the ball to the ref. See, we got to get this whole idea that it's all about us. You know what? Just do your job. Just be a Christian. Just do what God's called you to do, and you'll see, people will see who you are and what you're all about. Now, let's get to the downside of this, and that is that a reputation can be vandalized. A reputation can be vandalized. Man, you can do an awful lot of harm to yourself, and you can do a lot of harm to other people. Here's where the whole liar, liar, pants on fire thing comes in, because if you're lying, if you're talking about other people, you can hurt people. People don't realize how badly you can hurt somebody with your tongue. When I was youth pastor, we were on our way to amusement park somewhere in this church bus, and a girl in our youth group she's a little heavy, and the kids were giving her a little grief about it, and she was laughing along with them. They said something, and she laughed along with them, but as she turned around and walked away from down the aisle of the bus, I saw the tear in her eye. See, don't think that just because somebody's laughing with you, that they don't realize that you're laughing at them. You can really hurt somebody with your words. We can do unspeakable damage to a person just by the things we say. When I was teaching school, I had students whose parents told them they were worthless. You'll never do anything. You're stupid. Well, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You got to fill a kid's head with that? You can't do it. I like this story I found this week. A woman was guilty of worshiping, or was guilty of gossiping against her pastor. She said things about her pastor, and she felt convicted, so she went to the pastor. She said, I'm sorry for what I did, and I want to make it right. He said, well, I'll tell you what to do. I want you to go to Walmart, and I want you to buy one of those feather pillows, and on a windy day, I want you to go to the highest point in town and scatter all of those feathers in the wind. So she did it. She came back a couple of days later. She said, all right, I scattered all the feathers. What do you want me to do? He said, now I want you to go pick them all up. And she said, well, that's impossible. He said, you're right. It's impossible to undo what you've already done. And you got to understand that when you talk about somebody, you're scattering feathers to the wind, and you'll never get all of those back. Because a good story travels a long way, doesn't it? Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, well, let me tell you. And of course, as Christians, we share them as prayer requests. Well, brother, would you please pray for sister so-and-so? Because guess what she did? And then we just, you know, if it's really a prayer request, brother, would you pray for sister so-and-so? That's as far as it needs to go. Amen? Anything beyond that's gossip. Another pastor was having trouble with a lady in his church talking about him. Every time she saw his car somewhere, he thought he was having an affair with somebody. So to break her of it, he parked his car in front of her house for 2 days and two nights. She said, shut up after that. See, I can forgive you if you say something bad about me, but all the people that heard it may not hear your apology. And that's the tough part of it. Because you don't know where that story goes. You don't know how far it goes. And now with all the social media and all that stuff, man, you can say one thing and it can go far, far away. And let me tell you something. The bad thing about emails and all that other stuff is people don't get a chance to see your face, your vocal inflections. Like when we're standing around, you say something and everybody, oh, that's a joke. In an email, it doesn't always look like a joke. On Twitter, it doesn't always look like a joke. In fact, it looks hurtful, and it looks malicious, and it looks painful. You can do eternal damage to somebody just by the words that you say. Let me give you a couple of ways that we do this. First of all, slander. Slander is any communication of false statements that injure a person's reputation. You slandered anybody this week? You said anything about somebody just to hurt their reputation? We're guilty of slander when we knowingly lie about another person in order to harm their reputation. This is about to get ugly, guys, so you might as well just hang on. How about lying? Lying is any false statement deliberately presented as being true. Whether you know it or not, we're all guilty of lying. Look at your driver's license. You got uncomfortable there for a minute, didn't it? Did you know that 68% of Americans don't believe in absolute truth? 68% of Americans don't believe that there is absolutely truth. They believe the truth is in the eye of the beholder. I actually had a pastor tell me that one time. Truth is in the eye of the beholder. I said, no, truth is truth. If you tell me it's daytime outside and it's night, there's really no truth in the eye of the beholder. One of us is wrong. Now, you may be not very smart, but truth is in the eye of the beholder? No. It's said that 91% of all people lie regularly. 91%. That's a lot of people. Pastor's walking by and he sees this group of kids standing around a stray dog. He said, Pastor, what are you doing? Kid said, we're lying. Whoever has the best lie gets the dog. The pastor said, when I was a kid, I would never dream of doing that. Kids all looked at each other, kind of disappointed, and they said, well, I guess you win the dog. Parents, you ever tell your kids that? I would never do that. Yeah, you did. And your kids know it. I can talk about my wife today because she's outside in children's church. It was nice. You're taking notes, yeah. Wait, what about that slander thing going on? No. My youngest son hit my oldest son, or my oldest son hit my youngest son. It happened a lot, so it kind of blurs there. But she said, we don't hit. And I said under my breath, yeah, evidently we do. Or we wouldn't get in trouble for it. 1 in 5 people can't make it through a day without telling a lie. They say that you lie 92% of the time to save face. Did you trip? No. I was. It's a new dance step. You're a liar and your breath stinks. Come on. 98% of the time, we lie to keep from offending someone else. Does this dress make me look fat? And guys, there is no right answer to that question. That's where you want that Twix, like that guy had that commercial, like Twix. The next way is criticism. Statements made about others' actions, ways, and deeds in an effort to hurt their reputation. See, there's constructive criticism. But you can tell the difference between constructive criticism and ugly criticism because constructive criticism makes you feel better. See, when I was coaching football, I would tell my kids, you're too good a player to make that mistake. That's better than you're too stupid and you can't play this position. See, one is giving you, all right, I understand. He thinks I'm a good player and he knows I shouldn't do those things anymore. The other is, I just might as well turn on my helmet and go home. Constructive criticism builds somebody up. Because it tells them that you have enough faith in them to know that they can fix whatever's wrong. So think about that next time you want to talk to somebody. Think about that next time you want to point out something to somebody. Is it really constructive criticism or is it just criticism? Sometimes it's the sin in our own life that makes us look for the evil in others. Like the lady that looked out her window and said, my next door neighbor's, her clothes are just dingy. They're hanging on the line. Her clothes are dingy. And the lady said, that's not her clothes, it's your window. Sometimes the things we hate most about other people are the things we hate about ourselves. And so we look for ways to go after them on their mistakes. Oh, do you really want me to go to the next one? Gossip. Gossip is the practice of spreading rumors about other people. And it may be that the rumors are true. Understand that sometimes gossip is true. Not always. Sometimes it's true, though. They really did do exactly what you're talking about. That doesn't mean you have to open your mouth about it. Hello? See, just because you know something about somebody doesn't mean that you have to tell everybody about it. I tried to get my mom to understand that when I was dating Lynette. Mom, you don't have to show her all of my baby pictures. You especially didn't have to show her the picture of me in third grade with my Poindexter glasses and my Cub Scout uniform. If there was ever a picture of a nerd taken, that was that picture right there. My wife, my girlfriend at the time, who I'm trying to woo and make my wife, doesn't really need to see that picture of me and think, if I have kids with this guy, that's what our kids will look like. Really didn't need her to point that out. Let me tell you something. Gossip is always sin. I have a friend up here. Gossip is always sin, even if you try to masquerade it as a prayer request. Hey, let's be honest, okay? All joking aside, let's be honest here. If you really need me to pray for somebody, just tell me you need me to pray for them. You don't need to lay out their sins like hors d'oeuvres on a plate. I don't need to hear it. I just need to know to pray for that person. If God really needs me to know what their sins are because maybe he wants me to confront them about it, then God will tell me what they are. God will make sure I find out. Come on. This is one we don't think of. How about insinuation? We insinuate that somebody may be doing something wrong. Well, have you heard about so-and-so? Yeah, well, you know, it's pretty bad. I don't think she's living a Christian life. What's going on? Well, I don't want to go into details. You know what? I'm trying to think of a nice way to put this. Just shut up. Really, just shut up. Do yourself a favor and just shut up. Because here's the thing. If people will talk to you about someone else, they'll talk to someone else about you. I'll say that again for those of you who missed it. If I will talk trash to you about somebody else, chances are good I'll talk trash about you to somebody else. Because a gossip is a gossip, and it's people who insinuate, and people who are liars lie. My grandpa asked me one time, are you a horse thief because you stole a horse, or did you steal a horse because you're a horse thief? You stole the horse because you're a thief. You're a thief in your heart. And everything comes out of that. And if you've got a dirty heart, if you've got a heart that's full of hatred and venom and bitterness, it's going to come out in the way you talk about other people. I like this last one, exaggeration. Mark Twain said there's three kinds of lies. There's lies, there's big lies, and there's statistics. Whenever the government says, you know, give you a percentage, it's a lie. There's a lie somewhere. If you exaggerate, you're lying. Hello? How about silence? See, we don't think about that sometimes. Sometimes silence can be a sin. If somebody says something about a friend of mine that I know is a lie and I just let it go, I don't defend that person, I don't try to make that right, that silence is a sin. Think about it. We practice any of these things we're talking about, we're letting down God and we're saying that our reputation is not worthwhile. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Here are six things God hates and one more that he loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, a troublemaker in the family. Every house has one kid who's the tattler. If you've got more than one kid, you've got one who's just constantly telling on the other. He's the informant. He's probably going to grow up be a politician or something. He's just, but see, we don't need to be that. The Bible says that the tongue is a world of iniquity. We've got to let God control it. So I want to give you something to think about. Think. Before you talk this week, and this is probably the most practical thing I've learned in a lot of my years as being a pastor. I want you to think before you speak about another person this week. I believe in my heart this is the way God would have us do it. And it's an acrostic. So the T stands for true. Is it true? Is what you're about to say true? Or is it opinion? Remember, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. And not everybody wants to see yours. Trust me, nobody wants to see mine. Unless you're just looking for something to make fun of, and then, okay, all right. Is it true? Now, here's the next one. H is help. Will it help? Let me give you an example. I'm bald, and, well, I'm fat. So, if somebody were to say, Jerry, you're fat and bald, is it true? Well, yes, and unfortunately, it's true. Will it help? Not really. Not so much, because you telling me that isn't going to change that unless you have hair in your back pocket or something that you can transfer to my head. The I, is it inspiring? No, being told I'm fat and bald is not inspiring. Again, is it true? Yeah, but it's not going to inspire me not to get more hair or to go on a diet. It may make me mad. It may inspire me to sock you. Inspire me to offer you free dental work. That's not very Christian, is it? N. Well, this is really, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Now, let's get away from me being fat and bald for a minute. Let's say you know something about somebody. Is it true? Will it help them if you say it? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Do you really have to say it? Husbands, if you will learn this thing, you will make all kinds of strides with your wife because it'll keep you from saying stupid things. And then finally, K, and this is the hard one, is it kind? Now, before you open your mouth, before you tweet, before you send out a Facebook, whatever you're doing, is it true? Will it help? Is it going to inspire somebody? Is it necessary? And is it kind? I want you to think back over the last 10 or 12 times that your mouth got you in trouble. Would this have helped? The last 10 or 12 times you shut your mouth off and shot yourself in the foot at the same time. Guys, we have got to be Christians not just in our hearts, but in our actions, in our words, the things that we say, the things that we do. And this is so simple, but it's so necessary because I've seen so many Christians who didn't have a good witness at work or at school because they couldn't control their tongues. And they just shut off their mouth and said whatever they were feeling. I got news for you. If you're talking, what's the old thing that there's no wisdom in a lot of words? Throttle back, think your way through it for a second. Do I really need to say this? Is this kind? Helpful? I mean, is it all of these things? This is so simple, isn't it? But you know what I find is the truth is simple. We make it complicated. God's word is simple. Speak the truth. Do it in love. Do it the right way. If you've harmed somebody, go to them and tell them you're sorry. Now, I learned a valuable lesson in college. As far as the offense goes, so goes the apology. There for a while, it was real popular in Christianity. Well, I'm going to speak the truth in love. We had a guy come to our church in El Cajon and talk to us. He says, oh, I'm going to speak the truth in love. All right. So he taught us this whole thing. And then I had a girl in my youth group tell another girl in her youth group, hey, I've always hated you. And the other girl didn't even know. So she didn't do any good. She did harm. So as far as the offense goes, so goes the apology. If you've always just had something in your heart against somebody, just shut up. Get it right with God and leave it at that. If you've offended somebody in public, you need to make a public apology. And again, one of the guys at SCC yelled at a girl in front of everybody. in the cafeteria one day. And he was kind of harsh, you know. I mean, he was right, but he was harsh about it. He got up in chapel 2 days later in front of the entire school, and he said, "I don't know how many of you heard me be ugly to this girl, and since I can't figure out which ones heard it, I'm just going to apologize to her in front of all of you." Now, most people would rather gargle razor blades than apologize like that. But that was a man of integrity. "I don't know how many of you heard what I said. I can't pick up all the feathers cast to the wind, so I'm just going to fix it this way." See, and that's hard, but that's Christian. So if you've verbally offended somebody with your words, make it right. If it's gone on in your heart, then you and God take care of it and just make sure your attitude never shows ever again. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where being a Christian gets lived out in the things we say, the things we do, the way we are. Guys, if you will do nothing more than apply this acrostic to your life this week, you will keep yourself out of a lot of trouble. And you will not embarrass our Savior.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.